So I kind of put a list on your worksheet of the events that happened during Passover week, the events of Jesus last week. And this is taken from all four Gospels, okay? So it's they don't all tell all the same things, so you kind of have to fit it all together. So this is how it looks. 6 days before Passover, we know he's in Bethany. 5 days before Passover is when Jesus enters Jerusalem, what we call the triumphal entry. Palm Sunday is what we celebrate. 4 days before Passover, he curses the fig tree, he weeps over Jerusalem, he cleanses the temple, and Terry preached a great sermon on that a couple of weeks ago, so I'm not going to talk a lot about that. 3 days before Passover, Jesus teaches in the temple, and he spends a lot of time in the temple. And during this week, it seems like every night he goes back to Bethany. So during the day, he comes to Jerusalem. At night, he goes back to Bethany. So during the week, he's teaching openly at the temple. And these moments between Jesus and the religious leaders become more frequent and more intense because they want to discredit him. They want to trick him. They come together and they huddle and they are like, okay, what are we going to ask him? And they come up with these convoluted questions specifically to try to trick him. And I love it because they never do. You know, they never can trick him. Jesus always has the right answer to shut them up, or the answer that makes them go, okay, we don't even know what to say to that. He just knows. And so they're constantly being humiliated in their attempts to make Jesus look bad. They're only being made to look bad, okay? So this happens during the week. He confounds and condemns the religious leaders. And it's during this time that Jesus pronounces the seven woes on the religious leaders of Jerusalem. And that's in Matthew 23. And if you don't think this was a showdown, go read that. Because he is in their face saying, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. You know, you the outside of your cup is clean, but the inside of it is filthy. And just he just nails them, okay? So very intense, and it made him less popular with them than he already was. 2 days before Passover, nothing specific is recorded, which doesn't mean nothing happened. It just means it didn't get written down. Maybe Jesus stayed in Bethany that whole day and just kind of chilled with Lazarus. I don't know. So 1 day before the Passover is the 14th of Nisan, which is a Thursday, maybe. I'll get to more of that in a second. But this is where things get a little bit funky, because it's important to understand, and I put this in a box somewhere, maybe on the next page of your worksheet, but the way that the Jews kept time, the way that they kept track of days, is different from how we do it here in the West. Here in the West, our day starts at midnight, and then it ends at the next midnight, right? So it's from midnight to midnight. So, for example, this is Wednesday. Our Wednesday started at 12 a.m., and our Wednesday is going to end at 11:59. Well, the Jews didn't do it that way. Their day started at sundown. And you're like, what? But their day started at sundown. So when, for example, you read in Genesis chapter 1, God said, let there be light. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. So you see it right there. It's the evening and morning, where we would go morning and evening. No, it's evening and morning the first day. And, you know, you've probably heard it said that the Jewish Sabbath would always begin at sundown. Well, that's because Sabbath started at sundown. It wasn't technically Sabbath till the sundown. So the 1 day before Passover, which is the 14th of Nisan, maybe a Thursday, maybe not, Peter and John are sent to make the preparations for the Passover. Then at sunset on Thursday, it's now Friday. Sunset signifies Passover has begun. That means it's the next day. All right? So Passover begins which is maybe, probably a Friday. Jesus eats the Passover meal with his disciples. He washes their feet. Judas departs. Jesus, in the midst of eating the Passover meal, something that they were very familiar with, in the midst of eating that, he takes the third cup and the bread, and he does something new. And he institutes the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper. Okay? Jesus gives his goodbye speech, all his last words to his disciples. He prays the high priestly prayer. They go to Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus has his agony there. Betrayal by Judas, arrest by the Sanhedrin. And then he's taken to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest, as they wait for the Sanhedrin, which was the Jewish ruling council, as they wait for the Sanhedrin to convene. Peter betrays Jesus. So this was all on Passover. During the night, Jesus endures 6 separate hearings in this, quote, trial, which was a sham of a trial. There was nothing legal about it. The Jews broke so many of their own laws in what they did with Jesus this night. But first, Jesus was taken to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest. So he's taken to Annas' house. He's questioned. Annas is fishing for evidence, can't find any, and he's stalling. So then they send him back to Caiaphas, who is the high priest. Caiaphas questions Jesus, condemns him. He's mistreated. At dawn, the Sanhedrin convenes. And again, Jesus is questioned. And meanwhile, the cock crows. And Peter has denied Jesus the third time. Interesting thing that I read. The cock crow is actually a trumpet blast back then. No, it's not a rooster. It's a trumpet blow that back in first century Judea, that would signal dawn. And I was like, wow, that's interesting, because I always thought it was the rooster crowing. But, you know, it was the cock crow, and it happened every morning. So,
Julie,
yes.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
So the first time and the second time the cock crow was heard, was that trumpet also?
The cock only crowed once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was his third denial.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 denials, one cock crow.
Yep.
So after the Sanhedrin condemns Jesus, they send him to Pilate. Because the only reason they sent him to Pilate is because they wanted him to die. And they had no authority to execute anyone. So they sent him to Pilate to get Pilate to do the dirty work. Also, had Pilate not ordered the execution, Jesus wouldn't have been crucified. Crucifixions were only done by the Romans. And it was prophesied that the Messiah would die by crucifixion. So Pilate, in essence, fulfilled scripture. So he's sent to Pilate, he questions Jesus, and he can't find any reason. So finally, he sends him to Herod. Herod messes with him. Herod just really wants to see some miracles. Herod dresses him up, mocks him, sends him back to Pilate. And Pilate questions him again. Can't find any reason that he is to be accused. And yet the religious leaders are vehement. And now the religious leaders have been out in the crowd, and they've been stirring up the crowd. And now the crowd is screaming, "Crucify him." They also threatened to tell Rome, which is what I think might have been the thing that did it for Pilate. You know, he's like, that's the last thing I need, is for Rome to come crawling around here. So at 9 a.m., and mind you, Jesus has been suffering at the hands of the religious leaders and the guards all night, exhausted. He's exhausted. So at 9 a.m., Pilate hands him over to be crucified. Jesus is taken by the Roman soldiers, He's mocked. He's beaten. He's mistreated. He's flogged. He's scourged, which would kill you, practically. They put a crown of thorns on his head, and they lead him away to be crucified. I mean, it's honestly really hard for me to read that. I don't think any of us can imagine what Christ suffered up to this point. Up to this point. And then they led him away to be crucified. And crucifixion was a horrible death. And you know, I think the whole crucifixion thing, we're like, yeah, we've heard about it, we get it, you know. But think about being stripped naked and hung up on something where your arms are pulled up. You can't even hide yourself. Totally exposed. Totally humiliated in front of everybody. And you're hanging in such a way that really death by crucifixion is death by suffocation. Because the way that they would hang them, they would have to stand themselves up in order to breathe. And then they'd slump back down. Well, at some point, you're exhausted. And you can't stand yourself up anymore to breathe. And so you die. Horrible, horrible, horrible way to die. Well, Jesus was crucified at noon, and from noon to 3 o'clock, Jesus is on the cross. And during this time, it is dark. Darkness. Middle of the day. And during his time on the cross, there's a lot of other things that happen. You know, some conversations that happen. The guards gamble for his clothing and things like that. People mock him. You know, he has the conversation with the thief next to him. So there's some things that happen during those 3 hours. But at 3 o'clock, Jesus dies. And when he dies, earth reacts. There's an earthquake. Rocks split. Tombs break open, and the bodies of many holy people come to life. I really want to know more about that. But it's just kind of mentioned, and then John goes, maybe it's Matthew that says that. He just goes right on and doesn't explain that. I really want some more details about that. And the curtain in the temple rips in two from top to bottom. I'm going to talk more about that in a little bit. But when Jesus dies, there's a reaction. And the reaction of earth was so dramatic that one of the guards standing there said, "Surely he must have been the Son of God." Okay? So, also what's interesting about Jesus being on the cross is that he died much quicker than usual. So, because it was on the eve of a Sabbath, the Jews did not want bodies hanging on crosses during the Sabbath. So they would want to speed up their death, which meant break their legs, because then they can't stand themselves up to breathe anymore. If your legs are broken, you're going to hang there and you're going to suffocate and die much quicker. So the guards came around to break the legs of the those who were being crucified, and they found that Jesus was already dead. So his legs did not have to be broken. Which is a fulfillment of Scripture. It's a fulfillment. And in your daily readings that's at the end of the lesson, there's some verses that kind of talk about that and just some of the really interesting things of how Jesus fulfills different aspects of the Passover lamb. So because it was the day before a Sabbath, and the Sabbath begins when?
Sundown.
Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus take Jesus down. They get Pilate's permission. They take Jesus down from the cross, and they bury him in a tomb that was very close by. But they did it in a hasty manner. And we know that because the women were coming to the tomb with spices and everything to properly prepare Jesus' body for burial. So we know that it was kind of a hasty thing. They wanted to get him off the cross and get him in the tomb before the Sabbath began. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus were both religious leaders. And Nicodemus is the one who in John chapter 3 came to Jesus and wanted to know about being, you know, having eternal life. Joseph and Nicodemus, by touching Jesus' body, made themselves unclean. I mean, part of the Jewish law was, you know, to be able to celebrate the Passover, and, you know, there was the cleanliness part of things. And they willingly made themselves unclean to take care of our Lord's body and had him in the tomb before sunset. So these are the events of the last week of Jesus' life. And I want to talk a little bit more about some specific things. But before we move on, are there any questions or thoughts on just all of these events that we talked about? Yes?
Yeah, the thing that strikes me is we go back to the readings you gave us. It said the Jewish leaders were worried about the Romans walking in. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons is the Messiah was the son of David. Well, David was a military leader. And if you got a military leader that could not only feed everybody, because he fed the multitude, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and he could heal the wounded, mm-hmm. and he could even raise his guys from the dead, that would be a very formidable foe.
Right.
You couldn't kill his armies, you couldn't
right.
run him out of food.
Right.
And they could come at you just with no weapons, and you had no
right.
chance. So.
Right.
And the way they thought, they didn't understand what Jesus' goal was, what
yeah.
his charge was.
Right.
And all they could see is, well, we got a military leader coming up, and we're in trouble.
Right.
You know?
Right. Good thoughts. Someone else.
This is maybe a technicality sort of thing, but with regard to the people who were raised out of their tombs,
yes.
I looked back at the
yes.
verses on that, and it actually mentions that they came out of the tombs after his resurrection.
Oh, okay.
So, which, I mean, it's placed with the timing of his death.
Right.
But I think that, I mean, to me, that takes me forward to, like, where Paul's talking about Jesus being the firstborn
mm-hmm.
from the dead, and
yeah.
how at the time of his resurrection, which I know we're not getting into tonight, but that immediately inaugurated something was happening
right.
from those who had died before. So.
Yeah. How wild would that be to see someone at the grocery store and go, wait a minute. I was at your funeral. Yes.
I would have thought that there would be more writings on an event such as that. But the other thing, too, is because, you know, the church took off at such, you know, an amazing speed at that point, it may lead to because of this event also. You know, if something like this happened, you know, it wouldn't be just one man, it would have been others, and so it would just, you know, spread that much quicker.
Right.
But I always thought that was just really interesting. It's like, you just would have thought there would have been just more writing on it.
Are you talking about of the people?
The other people
who were resurrected?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. I think that's just so fascinating. But the whole thing is fascinating, and so
maybe
to the people who were there, that was just like a footnote, you know. But I look at that and go, wow, that's pretty cool.
Well, they just, I mean, if you go back to the first of the week, I mean, he raised Lazarus from the dead, so they've already witnessed a resurrection.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so this isn't like, this is something that's familiar to them in a way. I think it would still be, you know, sudden that they would be, like, coming back. But in connection with Jesus, those who would believe would understand
mm-hmm.
resurrection.
Right.
To where it wouldn't be so shocking.
Yeah.
Because they had, I mean, through his ministry, they had seen him heal and seen him. So for the believers at the time, it could have been, you know, understood.
Right.
Type of thing, better than how we
right.
we understand.
So knowing that the religious leaders were trying to just stamp out the whole Jesus movement anyway, and to, you know, after his resurrection, trying to they bribed people, and sorry, I'm spoiling it for Steve next week, but So I have to wonder, how did they play that with these people that have were walking around that had been dead? I mean, how do you hide that? I don't know.
Maybe they set out to kill them too.
Maybe they did.
I think one of the things that, I mean, just kind of caught me in this is when Jesus is when he's mocked and beaten, I wonder, did God keep him alive? You know, like, that kind of treatment would typically lead to death.
Right.
I mean, they beat him so severely he wasn't even recognizable. Right. And to think that God kept him alive to endure the next step of it,
right.
And this is his own son,
right.
You know, I just... Yeah. The power behind it. It's just amazing.
When you really enter into the story,
oh, yeah.
And you really think about what happened and you understand what it was to be flogged and what it was to be scourged and how brutal the Roman soldiers would have been with him. You know, I just think about having thorns jammed down on your head, and then it says that they beat him in the head with repeated blows. You know, when you enter in to the story and to the events that happened, it's really hard to read. It's really hard to read. Any other thoughts before we move on to the next section? Yeah.
When he's going into what is like Palm Sunday or something, he's going in and they're all just calling out, praise to God in the highest, and everything. And they told him, make these people shut up. And he said, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.
Mm-hmm.
When he died,
the stones cried out.
They broke in half.
Yeah. That's profound. It is profound.